This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله الصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن تبع هداه أما بعد السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. The general theme, inshallah, will be about working in an Islamic organization, volunteering in charitable work or Islamic work. Now, when we talk about volunteering, what comes to mind first, or usually what people think, is giving some charity or some money. And that's only just one aspect of volunteering. What we really need in our time, more than money, is actually expertise. When you volunteer, when you are giving your skills for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal, this is what we really need. So, first talk, or first few minutes, the first session out of the five sessions tonight, inshallah, will be on why volunteering and about the intention. We all know the hadith in Sahih al-Bukhari, the first hadith, إِنَّمَا الْعَمَلُ بِالنِّيَاتِ. You all know that. So the question is, what is your intention? And actually, every single time I start any talk, I like to remind myself and my brothers and sisters why we are here. Is it to impress others? Is it to share with others and get some likes and some shares on Facebook, on social media? Is it to please Allah Azza wa Jal? Giving some of your time or some of your wealth or some of your expertise for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal, that's a duty. That's not excess or a virtue. It is a duty. It's like giving back from what Allah Azza wa Jal gave you. It is a must. And the companions of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, the pious predecessors, they knew that very well. And they exercised that with their time, with their wealth. Yesterday, I gave a khutbah about how Muslims can contribute financially. And I gave an example, which I'd like to share with you also. Because I'm not just going to talk about examples from the pious predecessors, examples of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and Uthman radiallahu anhu and others. No, in our time, one man, and you can Google that later, one man in Egypt, he passed away, rahimahullah, in the year 2016, January 11th, 2016, just a few years ago. This man left with a lot of wealth, not for him, for the needy. He was born in a village, poor village, not in the capital, Cairo or Alexandria, no. He was born in a poor village. When he grew up, he thought of how can he help the people of this village. First council he established, 10 shares. That's what he decided. We are partners with 10 shares. They said, we are only 9. He said, yes. The 10th is Allah Azza wa Jal. 10% of everything we make goes for the sake of Allah. And that's what happened. Slowly, they started with a small institute for primary school, for girls. They wanted to secure education for girls because they are the ones who were forgotten at that time. Then they started another one for boys. Then high school for girls. Then high school for boys. Now they achieved education. What is next? College. They said, you cannot build a college. College requires bus station, bus stops, train stations, and you don't have that. He said, we will secure that. And he made the bus and the train line going through their village. He wasn't looking for any recognition. That's why people didn't know him until he died. And that's the point. You don't have to make an announcement, big announcement. Look at me, I'm going to do charitable work. look at me, I'm going to volunteer. No. You're doing it for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That maybe one day, someone who knew about that, who benefited from it, will help you. After you are long gone. This is why we volunteer. It is not for today or for tomorrow. Yes, that's the primary goal, but it is on the long run for the future. Now, in 2016, when Salah Atiyah rahimahullah, this is the millionaire who passed away, what did he leave? He left 4 colleges, not 1 or 2, 4 colleges. It was not known in anywhere else. I don't know, do we need the mic? I mean, can you hear me? Because it's going to, okay, now it's back. 4 colleges in a small village that was not heard of. The question is, all that started with what? It started with small intention. Pure intention. So my question to you, to everyone, is what is your intention? You are now, by the way, how many of you in their final, in their senior year? You are. Do you mind sharing? What are you studying? Mass communication, which we need now in our time, mashallah. So what is your plan after you finish? I mean, are you looking for, of course, you are looking for job offers somewhere, right? And then what? Isn't that what we are thinking of? You haven't thought that far? Yeah.
For now, I just want to be able to provide for my family.
Okay. Do you mind sharing that?
Sure.
Let everyone hear, because I want it to be interactive. Go ahead.
For now, I'm just trying to look for a job so that I can provide for my family. And inshallah, get married.
What's your name, akhi?
Ahmed.
You all heard what Ahmed said? Our primary goal is what? I mean, when we study, what's the purpose? When people ask you, what are you studying for now? Later, once you graduate, they will ask you, what are you doing for living? Isn't that what everyone asks? Our primary goal is what? We have a family that we want to provide for. Yes or no? Guess what? Isn't that what every single one is doing? We Muslims, we should be better than that. No denial that this is essential and this is important. I have to provide for my family, for myself and for my family. I need to make a living. We are better than that. I need to make a living, but at the same time, I need to do something for those who cannot do anything for themselves. That is the pure intention. When we think and try to help those who are helpless, because the kuffar, by the way, that's what they do. Actually, I will share with you something that I saw when I was in the States. Companies, the big companies, they look for candidates. Those who can get a scholarship. Remember, they are non-Muslims, so they don't really care about charity. They are companies. They are caring mainly about what? Making profit. So they sponsor students who are about to graduate from high school before they even go to college. They pay for their full education, 4 years, full expenses, and after that, that's the catch. What is the catch? They have to work for them for a certain amount of years. So they make 10 times what they spent. We Muslims, we should do that for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jalla. Because when we do it for the sake of Allah, we ourselves will be the primary beneficiaries. Now, when we talk, and this is also what I shared with the audience yesterday, when we talk about business, and people say, please separate religion from business. No. Now, and this is this Tuesday, it's like 3 days ago, this was published in the Associated Press News. And then it was published in Wall Street Journal. 20% of the top 100 Fortune, the 100 companies on the Fortune list, 20% of those companies, which means like 20 companies, They are providing religious-based services for their employees. Religious-based services for their employees. Why? Do they care about the religion? No. You are a Muslim, we'll provide for you musalla. What else do you want? You want break for Jum'ah? We'll provide for that. What else do you want? Why? They don't care about your religion. What do they care about? Making more money. They are smart. You, my brothers and sisters, you need to be smart as well. Because, let me ask you this. Now we are here in this year, 1441 Hijrah, 2020. 10 years later, chances are, will we be here? Most likely, we will be somewhere else. Yes or no? 50 years from now, chances are, will we be here? Most likely, no. We are dead, right? So, what did the Prophet ﷺ say? إِذَا مَاتَ ابْنُ آدَمْ إِنْقَطَعَ عَمَلُهُ إِلَّا مِنْ ثَلَاثٍ. You know this hadith or no? Do you know this hadith? When the son of Adam dies, his deeds will stop. Except for what? Three things. So, do you realize that even if every single year you were able to make it for Hajj and Umrah, 50 times, 60 times, 100 times, what will happen? It will stop when you die. The smart one is the one who plans after that. There is a book, you should read it. How to plan for the next 500 years. One would say, I will never make it 500 years. Yes, you don't have to be alive. You think the projects that we see nowadays, these beautiful achievements, people saw it. They didn't see it with their eyes. They dreamt about it, yes. They planted the seed, yes. So one of your greatest achievements could be not something that you did now, but something you planned. Volunteering is the key. Doing something other than what everyone else is thinking. Now, again, I share with you the concern. Year in, year out, economy is becoming more difficult. Sustaining and providing for the family is getting more and more difficult. The worry is higher. The pay is less. Everyone is worried. Yes, that's what everyone, we are better than that because we are Muslims. I gave you an example. Salah Atiyah, rahimahullah, the Egyptian millionaire, who thought of the others. From the pious predecessors, we remember Uthman radiallahu anhu. You all know the story, in the year of famine, when Umar radiallahu anhu was the Khalifa, and he had to suspend the punishment of theft. People had no choice, either they steal or they die. So do you punish them for theft? No. That time when everyone is thinking, how can I make money? Uthman radiallahu anhu thought, how can I make hasanat? At that time when the caravan came and people started offering him, we give you 100% profit. Not 30% or 50%, 100%. He said, no, I was paid more. 200%, no, I was paid more. Up to 600%. So 1 ringgit, your cost, you're paid 6 ringgit profit. No, I was paid more. They said, who paid you more? We're the first ones to come. He said, Allah Azza wa Jalla. And he gave everything for the sake of Allah. Can you do that? Nowadays, people talk about Bill Gates, Warren Buffett, and others who dedicated their wealth for charity. But when? That's the key. When they dedicated that? After they die. Because they cannot let go when they are alive. Well, the Prophet ﷺ gave up that when he was alive. You see, talking is easy, brothers and sisters, but action. What did Allah Azza wa Jal say in Surah Ali Imran, Ayah 92? Allah Azza wa Jal said, لَن تَنَالُوا الْبِرَّ حَتَّى تُنْفِقُوا مِمَّا تُحِبُّونَ. You will not attain birr. Birr, not just simple iman or Islam, birr, that's a higher level, which Allah says in Ayah 177 of Surah Al-Baqarah. لَيْسَ الْبِرَّ أَن تُوَلُّوا وُجُوهَكُمْ قِبَلَ الْمَشْرِقِ وَالْمَغْرِبِ وَلَكِنَّ الْبِرَّ مَنْ آمَنَ بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ وَالْمَلَائِكَةِ وَالْكِتَابِ وَالنَّبِيِّينَ وَآتَى الْمَالَ عَلَى حُبِّهِ. That's all is birr. So Allah says in Surah Ali Imran, birr, you will attain it only when you spend of what you love. Nowadays, what do we spend? We spend of what we love, we spend of what we hate. Something that I used for 5 years, it's worn off now, it's worn out, so let's give it in charity. Yeah, of course, it's better than throwing it away. But is that birr? No. Birr is when you spend of what you love. Keep this in mind. Tonight, inshallah, when we leave, every single one of us has to think of something that would make him achieve this level of birr. By letting go of something that is dear. Not something that you don't like, your clothes. You have been wearing them for a couple of years. Now you're tired, or maybe they are tired. They don't fit you anymore. So now you say, let's give them in charity. No. When you buy something brand new, you love it, you like it, you've been waiting for it, and then you give it in charity. That's birr. That's what Allah Azza wa Jalla says. One of the great scholars in our time, rahimahullah, Sheikh Bakr Abu Zayd, one of the members of the grand jurists in Saudi. I don't know if you heard of his name, Bakr Abu Zayd. He passed away, rahimahullah, in the year 1414. About 20 plus years ago. Sheikh Bakr was on a visit to Damascus. And he visited one of the scholars, Sheikh Abdul Qadir al-Arnaut, rahimahullah, who is a muhaddith, a scholar of hadith. And when he visited him, he saw that the Sheikh has a small apartment where people visit him, students of knowledge. I was actually one of those students who visited him in his place. He had only one room where his library, his office, and the visitors, and the other room for his family. So anytime he has a visitor, his family, they are limited, restrained in that room. So what did the Sheikh do? Now, anyone else would see that and say, may Allah help him, all what we can do is dua. Sheikh Bakr told him, after he left, he said, Sheikh, I think I am planning on having a summer home and a summer vacation in Damascus. So I'd like you to find me a house, big enough, where I could enjoy the summertime in Damascus, in Syria. He said, okay. And the Sheikh looked around. He said, I found a place. It's brand new, 3 bedrooms with a separate one for the visitors, just as you requested. And he said, okay, now it's time to put furniture. How much money does it cost? $140,000 at that time. He transferred the money to him. When everything was ready, he told him, now you must come. The key is ready. He said, Sheikh, take the key. This is yours. He said, no. He said, yes. This is yours. And please do not tell anyone. That's the key. The Sheikh was not looking for Facebook pictures and shares. And no, he told him, please don't tell anyone. I didn't do this so people would know. I did it because when I'm doing it, I'm serving the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And indeed, I visited the Sheikh at his new place. I was fortunate enough to live and see that place. I didn't know the story until the Sheikh died. The Sheikh honored the will of Sheikh Bakr until Sheikh Bakr rahimahullah passed away. When he passed away, he published that story. And only then I knew it. So why I'm sharing with you this? Everyone can live for himself. That's what we all thinking about. How much money can I make? How much money can I save? What can I do which is better than others? That's what we are thinking. We want that, but not only in dunya. We want that in our religion for others. When everyone is trying to be selfish, when everyone is trying to do nafsi, nafsi. What did the Prophet ﷺ say? Ummati, ya Rab, ummati. Prophet ﷺ was granted Jannah. He didn't need any more hasanat. Allah Azza wa Jal gave him already the highest level. Yet, at that time, what did he say? Ummati. That should be our concern. I have seen of the great scholars in our time who passed away, rahimahumullah, 20 years ago. All their time was dedicated for others. They didn't have to do that. They made enough money. In the tens of thousands every month. Wallahi, most of their salary is spent on what? On the poor and the needy. Did they have to do that? No. Why they did it then? They did it because they knew that they will see that someday when they meet Allah Azza wa Jal, when they need it most. So again, my brothers and sisters, it's time to shift a little bit our thinking. Everyone is looking for a living. Everyone wants to secure a good job. Wants to build a family, wants to have a big house, wants to have a nice car. Yes, that's everyone. You are better than that because you are Muslim. You want that and better. And you can do that. Your life is not random. You need to be focused. Your intention helps you being focused. When you have a pure intention, and Allah Azza wa Jal gave us the story of the mother of Imran. The entire story of Isa alayhi salam that Allah Azza wa Jal told, brothers, leave the paper, it's okay, you don't have to finish it.
Okay.
That's just an example. You could be focused, you know what to do, because you have an intention, or you could go right and left, waste more time, more energy, and eventually you will not do more than what is supposed to be done. It's your choice. How can you save more and do more? With a pure intention, with a purpose. The pure intention gives you a purpose. The mother of Maryam, which we call her even the mother of Maryam, Allah Azza wa Jalla didn't even name her in the Quran, because it really doesn't matter. As long as Allah knows her, she doesn't have to be known to the people. إِذْ قَالَتْ إِمْرَأَةُ عِمْرَانِ. The entire story of Isa alayhi salam starts with what? With a pure intention from his grandmother. When she wanted someone to serve in the house of Allah. فَلَمَّا وَضَعَتْهَا قَالَتْ رَبِّ إِنِّي وَضَعْتُهَا أُنْثَى. Oh Allah, I gave birth to a baby girl. وَاللَّهُ أَعْلَمُ بِمَا وَضَعَتْ. She's telling Allah what he doesn't know. He knows well what she gave birth to. Then why Allah tells us this? Allah tells us that because it was kind of, oh Allah, why you gave me baby girl when I wanted baby boy? Little did she know that Allah Azza wa Jal gave her the mother of one of the best five messengers. Did she ask for that? No. She just asked for a righteous son. That's what the pure intention gives you. You are here, but with pure intention, you become there. Allah Azza wa Jal will open doors for you that you would never imagine. Try it. Wallahi, you will enjoy it. Because never in the Quran, not a single time in the Quran, that Allah Azza wa Jal told us a story about someone who asked from Allah, who prayed to Allah, except that Allah Azza wa Jal gave him or her more than what they asked for. So, sure, you want to live for yourself, you can. But when you die, you will die for yourself also. But when you live for others, others will remember you and Allah will remember you, first and foremost. And that's what really matters. I never imagined that when I started more than 15 years ago in a small institute, in a small room, I never imagined that I will be in the other side of the world, that I will be having classes in all continents of the world. I'm not trying to say that I had pure intention, but at that time, I really wanted to do something, not for myself. I could have worked as a lecturer, and I was offered to be a lecturer, but I felt like this is just a job. I don't want a job. I want a message. That's the difference. If you are looking for a job to start from 9 to 5, then believe me, you are wasting your time. You want something you enjoy, that doesn't matter how much you give it, you enjoy it. With pure intention, that could happen. And I have many examples. I just wanted to share with you a few. So we are starting with what? Every time, purify your intention. Ask yourself, why I am doing what I am doing? Is it for the sake of Allah? Is it for fame, for recognition? Is it for what? For what purpose? So this was the first point of the first session, and I will stop here inshallah. I don't know what is the order. Do you want to have Q&A now, or you leave that until the end? It's up to you. Right, yeah. Okay, so we will continue inshallah. And then after that, we will break before Maghrib for the Q&A. The second topic is about adab of da'wah. relationship with scholars and seniors, being receptive to advice, relationship with colleagues and other organizations. Now, I will tell you something, and I have to be honest about it. It is unfortunate that we live in a time of division. This is the reality. I come to you, talking to you about unity, about the importance of being one hand, about how important is it to be united. And then I go and I do something that divides the Muslims. We need diversity, but not division. We need unity. I started something helpful. You liked it. Instead of you competing me, let's complete one another. Let's complement one another. And unfortunately, this is not what's happening now. That's a sad reality. We need to come together. This is on the individual level. This is on the community level. This is even on countries level. We see some projects, some good projects, instead of trying. You see now in the West, JazakAllah khair, this is water. Okay. We see in the West, a small company that is successful. What happens? A big company immediately acquire that company and they pay good money. Why? Because they know. It's not for their best interest to be two. They need to be one. We've seen many acquisitions happening. And you all know some examples. While what happens on the da'wah sphere with Muslims organizations is something different. Like let's say there is good charitable organization helping the Rohingya, doing good job. They are able to reach them. Why would I come and I start another organization to also help the Rohingya? This is what we see. The money is divided. The effort is doubled. And the result is sometimes even less. Again, no one can say he is the only one who is holding the truth. Or he's the only one who could do such a good job. No. Even at the time of the Prophet ﷺ, we learn something beautiful, which is diversity. The Prophet ﷺ didn't do everything on his own. No. He dedicated and delegated the companions to do jobs on his behalf. So, what did Khalid radiallahu anhu do? Khalid was good at what? In jihad. But in other areas, Khalid radiallahu anhu was not even average, less than average. To the extent that some companions complained to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He keeps repeating the same surahs. Did the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam blame him? No. That's what Khalid knows from the Quran. But when it comes to jihad, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Sayfun sallatahu Allah." He is a sword from Allah. Imagine if Khalid left that and he decided to become a scholar. Why? Because he sees that people are gathered around a scholar. No. Mu'adh radiallahu anhu, he was young. But the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "A'lamu ummati bil halal wal haram." The most knowledgeable in halal and haram. So, look at what you are good at. Oh, I don't even know what I'm good at. And that's actually a problem. Some people come sometimes and asking, what should I do? Immediately I ask back, what can you do? I don't know. What do you mean you don't know? You are now 20 plus years old and you still didn't figure out? Unfortunately, yes, some people. And it's okay. At least you realize where you are. The first step is to know where you are. So what are you good at? I don't know. What do you love? Think about something you love. I don't know. That's too much, but it could happen. How can you tell what do you love? What are the things that you constantly think about? Games, sports, video games, laptops, technology. That's what comes to mind. That's what you like. So think about something there that you could be good at. Don't look at someone who's doing something and try to copy him. Because no matter how good you are, you will be second. Try to be unique. Again, I'm not asking for division. I'm asking for diversity. We need to help one another. So again, it is unfortunate that we come, we talk about unity, Muslims are weak, and the Prophet ﷺ warned us, yes, and then I go and I do exactly opposite to what I said that we should not be doing. That's what's happening. We need to be united. Seeking knowledge is a long journey. It doesn't happen overnight. There is no magic wand where you just do it and you become knowledgeable. There is no magic pill. You take it and you become knowledgeable. No. Imam Shafi'i rahimahullah says, أخي لن تنال العلم إلا بستة سأنبيك عن تفصيلها ببياني ذكاء وحرص واجتهاد وبلغة وصحبة أستاذ وطول زماني. That's what Imam Shafi'i rahimahullah said. Okay, moving on. You all know what Imam Shafi'i rahimahullah said, right? In Arabic. Who doesn't know what I just said? You don't speak Arabic. It's okay, I'm just joking. Imam Shafi'i rahimahullah said there are six qualities you need to acquire knowledge. Intelligence. You have to be smart. And this is subjective, yes. But it means you cannot be average only. You cannot settle for mediocre standards. That's what everyone else is doing. You are better than that. The Ka'un. Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma, he had a friend. When they were young, at the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma actually was born in Medina. So he was only 11 years old when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam passed away. 11 years old. So, he was seeking knowledge. He had to wait in front of the door of Zayd ibn Thabit radiallahu anhu. And Zayd radiallahu anhu told him, why would you do that? Oh, cousin of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He said, that's how we treat people of knowledge. We come to them. He said, if you told me, I would have come to you. He said, no. The point is what? His friend, he told him, what are you doing? You think people will need you when they have those scholars, the old companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? That's what his friend told him. Did he listen to him? No. Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu kept seeking knowledge. Years passed. What happened later? He passed by the prophetic masjid and he saw Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu teaching everyone. He saw Umar radiallahu anhu, including Ibn Abbas, in his special council. So he said, that man was wiser. He had more wisdom than I. Just like nowadays, when people say, why do you need a scholar? Just open Sheikh Google. You can open and Google and you find the answer. That's not how knowledge is. Why don't you do that with medicine? Open Google, Dr. Google, Engineer Google. Unfortunately, only when it comes to Islam, yeah, go ahead. Anyone else who speaks in something he doesn't know, he either will be prosecuted or even imprisoned or stripped from the license. But someone speaks about Islam without knowledge, becomes thinker, Islamic thinker, expert. So, intelligence, what Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu had, focus, that's what Imam Shafi rahimahullah said, dhaka'un, wajtihadun. You need to make effort. Scholars documented their trips for seeking knowledge. Now, I know some of you, maybe most of you, you're not locals, right? Who's coming from another country? MashaAllah, the vast majority. So you made the trip for seeking knowledge, right? And may Allah Azza wa Jal reward you for that. Anyone of you came walking to Malaysia? Anyone of you faced dangerous, wild animals on the way? You had some difficulty at the immigration, you had some difficulty at the dorm, maybe, students' housing, maybe. In the past, some scholars said we had to make the bread wet. The bread was so dry and so hard that they couldn't chew it. They had to add water so it would be wet so they could eat it. That's all what they had. One of them was Ibn al-Jawzi, rahimahullah. Ibn al-Jawzi, rahimahullah, says, I came back after 2 years of seeking knowledge. Remember, at their time, trip means walking. There were no planes or cars. Even animals, mostly for students of knowledge, was not an option. Most of them had to walk. So he said, I came back after 2 years, and I saw that my peers, they still doing what they were doing. I didn't miss anything, but I surpassed all of them. And I don't ever regret what I did. That's ijtihad. When everyone is asleep, you are studying. You will excel. Oh, look, you will pass. Yes, maybe everyone will pass. But it is different. When you pass with 60, or you pass with full mark, with excellence, there is difference. Never ever settle for lower standards. So, dhaka'un wajtihadun. Wahirsun, you need to care. If you don't care, nothing else will work. This has to come from your own, from inside. And that goes back to what we talked about earlier about the intention. Hirsun, you need to care. Because the one who is careless, whatever comes, will accept it. And that's why I always ask, like here for instance, 2 hours ago, before Asr prayer, when we came here, you heard about this talk, yes or no? You knew there will be a talk, yes or no? What are your expectations? What did you expect? What do you want to achieve after leaving? You just sit and enjoy and maybe drink a cup of tea. What are your expectations? Without correct beginnings, you don't reach correct endings. So, always have expectations. What were your expectations today? So, that's important. In anything you do, you are focused, you have pure intention, and you have a goal. I think there is one of the topics about planning. We'll talk about it later. I will... Yeah, in self-development. I will be addressing that, inshallah. But for now, always make sure that you don't do just anything randomly. Because you do anything just like that, you will be satisfied with any result. No, I am doing this because I am expecting that. If I don't get that, then there is something happening I have to correct. That's what successful companies do. They always ask for feedback. Why? At the end of the month, they don't just accept any income. They don't just accept any work. They have a target. You as a Muslim, also you have a target. So, Imam Shafi'i, rahimahullah, back to it. I'm always trying to digress. Dhaka'un, wajtihadun, wahirsun, wabulghatun. You need the means. Money, expenses, resources. At their time, it was simple. You have some food, you are able to walk, that's it. Nowadays, you need residency, you need student pass, you need acceptance from the university, you need... So that's bulgha. And you know, all these are important, but I didn't mention them because of them, but because of what comes next. وَصُحْبَةُ أُسْتَادِ. That's the point, why I'm mentioning what Imam Shafi'i rahimahullah said. Because after the ka, which they had, وَحِرْسُ وَبُلْغَى, after all those four, comes what? The companionship of a teacher. With a great teacher, you have great students. Without great teacher, you will not have great students. Look at the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Without the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who they were? They were idol worshippers. Before Islam, what were they? After Islam, what did they become? They became leaders of the world. I give this as an example. Now, many of you who want to study Arabic, you heard about someone teaching Arabic. Why? He knows Arabic. Here is the thing. If you wanted to learn English, do you learn English from Chinese? Whose English is not his first language? Yes or no? Why? You are racist? No, because that's how knowledge is. You seek it from its sources. You need someone who's native speaker, yes or no? So when it comes to Arabic, someone who studied 4 levels of Arabic. How much can he give you? Oh, I'm just looking for level 1. Okay. But someone who studied 12 levels, is he the same as someone who studied 4 levels? Yes or no? No. The same thing. With great leaders, you have great achievement. And you know what? All of us understand that when it comes to dunya. If they told you there is a doctor, cheap. But then there is another doctor who's good. Do you take a chance with your health? Yes or no? You will not mind paying a little bit extra, yes or no? You would. You would pay, yes or no? Why? It's my health. It's no joke. Same thing. With your knowledge, with your life. Always seek the best. If you can go to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, why would you settle for other than him? If you can have it from the Quran, why do you settle for less than that? Suhbatu ustad. Nowadays, we have a lot of people who are self-taught and self-made. That could work in many fields, but not in the religion. We had examples like Ibn Hazm rahimahullah. He was a great scholar, but he had a problem. Most people talked about him. He was very offensive to other scholars. He would actually attack the schools of thought. Why? He didn't have a sheikh, he didn't have a teacher. He was the son of the prime minister at that time in Al-Andalus. He was very rich, so he was able to buy all the books, and he sat at home and he learned from the books directly. He had some knowledge, but scholars said that's not the right way to seek knowledge. So yes, you could reach, but after what? After a long time. Or you could have the proper methodology. Who can tell you that? A teacher, an expert. Subhanallah, Allah Azza wa Jal tells us in the Quran the story of Musa alayhi salam. وَمَا تِلْكَ بِيَمِينِكَ يَا مُوسَى. This is not just a story to enjoy reading the Quran. No, this is experience. Why companies require experience? Because they want to avoid the mistakes that previous employees did. They want to save on human resources. That's what experience means. Allah Azza wa Jal did not want Musa alayhi salam to halt, to choke in front of Fir'aun. So first, let's see what he will do. What happened when the staff became a snake? What happened? He ran away. Imagine if he did that in front of Fir'aun. Will people listen to him? So Allah Azza wa Jal taught him. What did the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say? Addabani Rabbi. Who's the one who taught the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Allah. That's why he was born orphan. He lost his father before he was even born. He lost his mother shortly after. He lost his grandfather. So he was only attached to Allah Azza wa Jal. Addabani Rabbi. And that's why, what did Allah say about the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Wa innaka la'ala khuluqin azim. One thing I like to share with you. Now, just because someone is a teacher, it doesn't mean that he knows everything. And that is true. Many times, we as students of knowledge, we look at what the teacher is saying, and we can tell specifically that he or she is wrong in that area. Does this happen or no? It happens. Does that make you more knowledgeable than the teacher? No. Just in that area, just like a patient who studied his symptoms very well, so he knows exactly what he's having, in his own disease, in his own diagnosis, he's better than many doctors. But that doesn't make him a doctor. Remember that. Why I'm saying this? Because many times we feel like, oh yeah, I know this. Okay, so what? So I am more knowledgeable. No. And subhanAllah, in the Quran, Allah Azza wa Jal told us the story of Musa alayhi salam with Al-Khadr. For a reason. Well, actually many reasons. But one main reason, it is about knowledge. Now, here is a question for all of you. Who's better with Allah Azza wa Jal, in the sight of Allah? Musa or Al-Khadr? Who's better? Huh? Musa, there is no question. No doubt, Musa was better. Yet, what happened? When Musa went on a quest for knowledge, did he go to Al-Khadr and tell him, look man, I am better than you, so give me all what you have. هل أتبعك على أن تعلمني مما علمت رشدا? May I follow you? Musa عليه السلام had a temper. I mean, children of Israel, they were very hard to deal with. Musa عليه السلام was known for that. And yet, when he came to Al-Khadir, did he respect the knowledge or no? He did. So respect the knowledge, so your knowledge also later will be respected. Part of respecting the knowledge is not to speak about everything. Nowadays, we feel like we are experts in everything. Medicine, engineering, religion, leave the experts. SubhanAllah, even in the religion, you see the statements of some of the scholars, you read them. Ibn Hajar al-Asqalani, rahimahullah, one time he commented on one of the scholars of fiqh. He was talking about hadith. So he said, مَنْ تَكَلَّمَ بِغَيْرِ فَنِّهِ أَتَى بِالْأَعَاجِيبِ. Whoever speaks other than his field of expertise, he will bring amazing things. Amazing not in the good way. Strange things. مَنْ تَكَلَّمَ بِغَيْرِ فَنِّهِ أَتَى بِالْأَعَاجِيبِ. And that's within the field of knowledge. And remember, at that time, not anyone becomes a scholar. First, they start with the Quran. Now, someone who memorized the Quran, we consider that like a great achievement. It is. But at their time, that was the beginning, not the end. In their biographies, you read that وَحَفِظَ الْقُرْآنِ. He memorized the Quran when he was 7 years old. That's the beginning, not the end. So they were scholars qualified, yet they respected the knowledge. Another thing, and this is what I respect when it comes to the West, to the Kuffar. You hire someone like public speaker. You know how much they make? Do you know? Give. Take a guess. Huh? 10,000. Huh? 10,000. That's what he said. They have certain classification. $10,000, which seems a lot, right? That's for one speech, be it an hour or an hour and a half. This is actually the lower level. The national speakers, I tell you from experience, because I had to pay that money. I was charged per hour. The national speakers, they are charging 30,000 hours. Some celebrities, well-known speakers, it won't be less than 100,000 per speech. Some former candidates for the presidency, they were senators and they made a lot of money. How do you know? Because when they filed for tax returns, in their taxes, they reported how much money they made from public speaking. Mitt Romney, that's one of them. He was the former candidate for presidency. He made $640,000 in 1 year from speaking only. These are fees for speaking. Now, you think people in the West, they are very generous, they just give their money like that? They are stingy. How could they pay that money? Because they know, they value the knowledge. I paid you that much because I am expecting also that much. So when people, and this, you may experience that. When someone says, oh, this one is charging a lot. All what he did was 5 minutes. That could happen, yes. He's not charging for those 5 minutes. He's charging for the years of accumulated experience and knowledge. Because without him, you wouldn't be able to solve this problem. Again, for us Muslims, we always have noble goal. We always have another aspect. I like my knowledge to be respected, but I'm not cruel. I'm not just taking advantage of you, and I'm not just looking for making profit or money. No, everyone is looking for comfortable income, yes, but at the same time, I am delivering a message. So you need to balance this. This is something that the kuffar don't understand. And I like to share with you something that we did at Aris. In the past, few years ago, since the beginning actually, for over 15 years, any class students take, it's charged. You have to pay, we have expenses. But we never told any student, you cannot come. We don't want anyone to say, I was prevented from knowledge because I didn't have money. Now, we didn't publicize that because sometimes people try to take advantage of this. But this was known policy for all our employees. This year, however, I changed that. What I did, I told everyone, it's free. Free. You're more than welcome to come. What happened? Numbers quadrupled. Instead of 25, we have now 100. We told them it's free, and we are keeping our word. But remember, we still have the same expenses. We were able to make, to break even, and to make ends meet every year. So inshallah, this year the same. Actually, most of our staff were worried. I told them, don't be worried, because there is always an aspect. You are dealing with Allah Azza wa Jal, not only with people. Especially when you say you are spreading Islamic knowledge. This is what the kuffar don't understand. This doesn't have monetary value. There is always something. You can do that even if you are an engineer, even if you are a doctor. I remember one doctor, well, more than one, but this one in particular, that was in the past, back in the day when there was no computer or secretaries where they charge. You come to the doctor, he says, this is how much you pay him. He had two drawers for money. Whenever a patient comes, finishes, pays, he puts some money here and some money there. So one time he was asked, why you have two drawers? He said, that's for me and that's for Allah. For Allah? Yes. What do you mean? He said, some patients, they come, they cannot afford paying. So I take from that drawer and I put it here. Eventually, I never tell any patient, you cannot come. Look at that. How much would that cost? Honestly, it just needs pure intention. In Damascus, the old people told me about a prison in front of the main market called Prison of the Dead, Sijn al-Amwat. What does it mean? Whenever someone dies and leaves debt, they wash him, they shroud him, they wrap him, but they don't bury him. They place him there. You're coming in the morning, you want to go and buy something, and suddenly you find in front of you, at the corner, before the entrance, what do you find? Dead body. What is this? This person died and he left some debts. How much? 5,000. I don't have 5,000, but I have 200. Okay. Everyone chips in. Within few hours, what happens? The man is debt free. So we guarantee we're burying him debt free. These simple initiatives, we can do that. We can do much more with noble intentions. And the more we do together, we need to be united. The more we do together, the better it is. And that's what we need in our time. If I tell you about the past, what scholars achieved with waqf, that's some example. Waqf, endowment, which also what the Prophet ﷺ guided the companions, including Umar radiallahu anh, to do, is to guarantee permanent return. In the previous session, I didn't continue when I told you about when you die, what will happen? Your deeds will stop. How do you guarantee continuation? Every one of us should think about that. Because the Prophet ﷺ gave us the way. Three ways. صدقة جارية علم ينتفع به ولد صالح يدعو له. You can secure one of those three, or you can secure even all of them. Continuous charity, useful knowledge, or a righteous offspring, a righteous son. Doesn't have to be your own son, someone that you help, someone that you sponsor, who will pray for you. Again, I told you about the companies who do that for dunya. But if you do that because your religion is reminding you of social welfare, that person will forget about you, will pray for you long time after your death. And this is what you really want. There were institutions that were established hundreds of years ago. How could they continue? How could they survive? Because the owners, the founders, when they established them, they made them what? Waqf. They weren't looking for instant income. They were looking for the long run. And you as a Muslim, in any job you take, whether you are a technician, an engineer, a doctor, a scholar, look always for continuation, growth. That's what the Prophet ﷺ guided us to. When Umar radiallahu anhu told him, O Messenger of Allah, I earned a piece of land. Most precious property I have. What do you advise me? Now, if you have a lot of money, or even little money, and you gave it in charity, that's it, you'll get the reward once. Maybe it's great reward, but still once. That's not what the Prophet ﷺ told him. What did he tell him? إِن شِئْتَ حَبَّسْتَ أَصْلَهَا. Keep the asset. Donate the fruit. So that guarantees what? Permanent return. Think like that, brothers and sisters. Tomorrow, inshallah, when you are providing service and you charge for that, you're not just charging for the service. You have to show that your service is excellent. Unfortunately for us Muslims, we try to take advantage of Islam. Brother, you are my brother. So if he's charging 50, you charge me 30. No, because you are my brother. If I can afford 60, I will not give you 50, I'll give you 60. That's how it should be. I know this sounds crazy, but believe me, this is how it was in the past. Urwa radiallahu anhu, Urwa al-Salami, not Urwa bin Mas'ud, Urwa al-Salami radiallahu anhu, Urwa al-Bariqi, at the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. After the death of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he bought a horse. He didn't buy it directly. He gave the money, 500, to his servant. Because the average price of the horse at that time, 500 dirham, 500 silver coins. So he gave him the 500 and he told him, buy me a horse. He went and he brought him a horse. So Urwa radiallahu anhu rode the horse and he liked it. This is amazing. How much did you pay? 500. He said, no, that cannot be. He said, yes. He told him, show me the seller. He went to the seller. He told him, you sold my servant this horse. Yes. 500. Yes. Here is 100 extra. The man looked at him. Why? He said, this horse worth 600, not 500. Okay, easy money. Would anyone reject that? So he took it. Then Urwa radiallahu anhu, in another narration, it was actually Jarir ibn Abdullah al-Bajali. But in another narration, it was Urwa. Then he rode it again and he liked it more. He said, this horse is worth more than that. 800. So he came back and he gave him 200 extra. The man thought that this man is crazy. He's just giving me extra money. He said, look, I know what you're thinking. Bayatu Rasulallahi. That's the point. He said, I gave the pledge to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ala sam'i wa ta'a, to listen and obey. Wa nush li kulli muslim, to advise for every Muslim. To be sincere. Are you sincere to your brother when you know he is in need and you are the only one who could help him? So you could charge him and you charge him the maximum. Are you sincere then? No, you're not. You took advantage of that. Is that what the Prophet ﷺ told us? No. So again, this is what the kuffar don't understand. Always think about that. There is always a margin. You make profit, you charge people. But on the other hand, you always have a margin for excellence, for ihsan, for doing the job better. Not settling for anything. I did the job, so pay me. We agreed on 1,000, so here is 900. Why? Unfortunately, that's what we see also from some people. You asked a lot, but that's what we agreed, 1,000. No, 1,000 is a lot. Why didn't you say that before we signed the agreement? The job is done, so I'm waiting. Here is 900. Forgive the 100. You know the example of that in the Quran? Allah Azza wa Jal says, وَيْلٌ لِلْمُطَفِّفِينَ. That's tatfif. Tatfif is not just when you have a scale, when you are owning a grocery shop, and you give people, instead of 1 kilo, you give them 800 grams. No, that's tatfif. When, if you did the job, you want your payment full. But if someone did you the full job, you want them to give up some of what they charge. الذين إذا اكتالوا على الناس يستوفون وإذا كالوهم أو وزنوهم يخسرون. We have double standards. It's okay. He is okay with this money. Will you be okay? No. Then why it's okay? That's what we see some people doing. No. I remember my aunt's husband in Damascus. He contracted someone, an expert, to do the mirror job. He had almost a palace, mashallah. His house was 1,000 square meters, not foot, square meters. So he hired someone to do the mirrors. And that man came and he did the job. But then he noticed that it is not straight. So he said, I need to come tomorrow. My aunt's husband, he said, no, it's okay. He said, no, it's not okay. He said, I'm telling you it's okay. He said, no, I don't care. It's my house. I paid you the money. It doesn't matter. This is my reputation, my work. If it's not 100%, I will not accept it. He came and he did it. You know what is the sad thing? After he left, I asked him. He said, this man is Jewish. That's what amazed me. He didn't settle for lower standards, subhanAllah. Why don't we do that? I am Muslim, brother. We take advantage of Islam. It's okay for free, for the sake of Allah. I love you for... Yes. But because I love you for the sake of Allah, I can afford that. I will pay that. I will pay even more. That's what Islam is teaching us. So I know I went a little bit away from the topic. I forgot actually the main points. Let's see what... Being receptive to advice. That's an important thing. Because this is something I like to do, especially with my students. Not all students, those who I feel that they pretend to know everything. I'm very nice with my students, except the ones who seem arrogant. I like to break their spirit, honestly. Like if someone of them, you find me pounding on the wall like that. Why? Not because I try to scare them, but I know on the long run what will happen. And alhamdulillah, they always thank me later. Now, yes, they hate me, they don't like me, they say, you, it's okay. But later I know this is for their own good. Always, always be receptive to advice. Because Imam Ahmad rahimahullah, who was Imam Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah, he was seen until his last days with his inkwell. So they asked him, Ya Imam, until when? You are Imam of Ahlus Sunnah and you still write? He said, yes, مَعَ الْمَحْبَرَةِ إِلَى الْمَقْبَرَةِ Until I die. Maybe the word that will save me, I didn't receive it yet. Just because you have master's degree or PhD or it doesn't mean that you are more knowledgeable. It doesn't mean that you know everything. For some people, honestly, it's just a piece of paper for some people. For others, yes, it is a testimony of their achievement. But generally speaking, there is no stopping for knowledge. Here is a simple question. What we know more or what we don't know? Huh? What we don't know, evidence. In Surah Al-Isra, Allah Azza wa Jal says, وَمَا أُوتِيتُم مِّنَ الْعِلْمِ إِلَّا قَلِيلًا But you are given of knowledge is what? Little. Even Al-Khadr, that Musa alayhi salam was sent to learn from him, it was reported that Al-Khadr told Musa alayhi salam, when they saw a bird flicking from the river, Al-Khadr told Musa, my knowledge and your knowledge combined are like this drop of water, compared to the river. That's the knowledge. And what is our knowledge compared to them? So always humble yourself to knowledge. You don't have to humble yourself to the person. No, it's not because of the person. It is because of what that person carries of knowledge. Again, what Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma said, how you acquire this knowledge? Two things, two qualities. Bilisanin sa'ul. With an asking tongue. Keeping questions. Don't pretend, I know. Do you understand? And you don't understand. Don't. Because you are only fooling yourself. Especially when it is paid course. You paid for it. You came long way. Oh, no. I don't want people to think that I'm stupid. Who said, why you are here? You are here to learn. If you know everything, go back to your home. We are all here to learn. And I tell you, subhanAllah, this is my personal experience. The same course I teach 10 times. Every single time I learn something new. You think you knew everything. You are a teacher after all, still. Because subhanAllah, it is the Quran, it is the knowledge, the religious knowledge. Every single time you see something new, you learn something new. Nowadays, there is a trend where very few people you hear them say, I don't know. How could I say I don't know? What will people think? SubhanAllah, what do you mean what people think? If you don't know, say I don't know. Imam Malik, rahimahullah, out of 40 questions, he would answer 36 by saying I don't know. 36, only 4. To the extent sometimes his students would tell him, Imam, this is simple. He says there is not anything simple in the religion. Don't you hear what Allah Azza wa Jal said? إِنَّا سَنُلْقِي عَلَيْكَ قَوْلًا ثَقِيلًا in Surah Al-Muzzammil. Nothing is light, everything is heavy. It's responsibility. Oh, I am the teacher, so I will just make up any answer. And this is one way I teach you, so in the future, if you became teachers, when a student embarrasses you with a question you don't know, and you are too arrogant to say, I don't know, you ask back, oh, who knows this answer? It's simple. Whenever you hear that, that means most likely the teacher doesn't know. Most likely. There is nothing wrong with saying, I don't know. Again, even when the student tells you something, it doesn't make him a teacher. He's still a student. But in that area, he knew something more than you. Musa alayhi salam, we learned that from him. He was better than Al-Khadr. But in that area, Al-Khadr had more knowledge. Allah Azza wa Jal says about Zakariya, هُنَالِكَ دَعَى زَكَرِيَّا رَبَّهِ in Surah Maryam. When was that? That was when he asked Maryam, أَنَّا لَكِ هَذَا. Where is that from? And she said, هُوَ مِنْ عِنْدِ اللَّهِ. Jazakallah khair. This is what?
I took off there.
Oh, you took it off. Okay, so it's sealed.
Yeah, because okay. Copyrights.
Copyrights, because it's on the camera? Oh, okay. So next time I have a banner here, what will you do? Then you can... So, who's better, Maryam or Zakariya? Who's better? Ladies? Still say Zakariya, which is correct. Because Maryam wa ummuhu siddiqa. Zakariya is a prophet. Prophets come first. Then, ma'an nabiyin wa siddiqin. Nabiyin are first. Then, siddiqin. Abu Bakr, Maryam, they are in the second level. So, Zakariya is better, no question. But in that particular time, at that realization, she was better. She reminded him. قَالَ أَنَّ لَكِ هَذَا قَالَتْ هُوَ مِنْ عِنْدِ اللَّهِ So, did that make her better? No, but in that area, she reminded him. He didn't say, I don't need that. I am a prophet of Allah. هُنَالِكَ دَعَى زَكَرِيَّا رَبَّهِ So, always be open to advice. And in order for people to listen to you, you have to listen to them. We complain that people are not listening to us. Well, actually, I have a practical thing about listening, but that will be, inshallah, after the break, after the prayer. You want people to treat you? Treat them the way you like to be treated. Don't have double standards. That's not fair. So, when you are advising, remember, it is what? It is advice. What does that mean? It's not a command. Many people don't differentiate between advice and command. Oh, I advise him. Then why you are upset? He didn't listen to me. Who said he has to listen to you? Is it a command or advice? You see what Allah says in the Quran? Inni a'idhuka, I advise you. Lawla ja'u alayh. Why did they not? All these are ways of advice. Even the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that's what he did. Naturally, do you like to be instructed directly by commands and prohibitions? Do, don't? Naturally, no. Even children, they don't like that. What we like is when we are given an option. Would you be able to do this, please? Can you do that? Even when the companions came to the Prophet ﷺ, asking him, so they are ready to accept whatever he says. The Prophet ﷺ didn't say, that's what you have to do. In shi'ta, if you want, if you wish. So, in order for you to give advice, you have to accept the advice. And remember, it is an advice, it is not a must. It is not a command. There is a difference between commands and advice. A command, you have no option. So, don't be offended. Oh, I advised him, but he doesn't listen. Who said he has to listen? You gave him what you think is right, and he chose something else. It's up to him. Imam Ibn Hazm, rahimahullah, says something very beautiful. And I want you all to remember that. When someone asks you to do something for him, do it the way he wants, not the way you want. Again, when someone asks you to do something for him or for her, for that matter, do it the way he wants, not the way you want. Otherwise, you would be blameworthy, not praiseworthy. وَإِلَّا كُنْتَ مُسِيئًا لَا مُحْسِنًا مُسْتَحِقًا لِلذَّمِّ إِلَى الْمَدْحِ. What does that mean? We want to install internet service. You are an expert in telecommunication. And you know where the signal will be better. So you said that's where it should be. I'm the owner of the house, so I said no, I cannot put it there. No, no, it has to be there. No, I want it here. Here the signal is weak. Doesn't matter, I really cannot put it there. No, it has to be there. Just imagine if you insisted, what will happen? I want it to be here. You did your part. This is my advice. That's it. It's wrong. What did Allah tell the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? فَذَكِّرْ إِنَّمَا أَنْتَ مُذَكِّرْ لَسْتَ عَلَيْهِمْ بِمُسَيْطِرْ. You are only a warner. You are not in control over them. So when you advise, you have to expect that people may not take your advice. Do not be offended. Because guess what? Even the Prophet ﷺ, is there anyone better than the Prophet ﷺ? No. His advice was not taken. Did he say, you are bad Muslim? You are weak in your iman? No. Barira, radiallahu anha, she was married to Mughith. Both of them were slaves. Barira was manumitted, she was freed. So now, socially, she became higher than her husband. So she had the option, and you know when women have the option, she divorced him. The poor guy started chasing her, crying. See what love does? So, the Prophet ﷺ looked at that, and he wanted to help. He came to her, he told her, Barira, why don't you take Mughith back? Look at her adab, at her respect. She said, O Messenger of Allah, are you commanding me? Is that a command? Because she knew, there is a line we cannot cross. Is this a command? He said, no. She said, I don't need him. Did he tell her, oh, what a bad woman you are, I am the messenger? No. So, even the Prophet ﷺ, one time his advice was not taken. So don't be offended. Because advice, what does it mean? You are wishing good for others. That's all. That's where it stops. I wished every good thing for you. And that's why I told you, this is what you should do. Whatever comes next, it's up to you. I cannot control it. I cannot force you. That's what advice is. So, when you are open to that, people will listen to you. So, first, you have to accept people's advice, because here is the thing. Now, if you look at your picture 10 years ago, many ladies, they like to keep pictures for long time ago. For us, maybe we, but if you looked at your picture 10 years ago, that time 10 years ago, how did you think? How did you feel? Didn't you feel that you know everything? Yes or no? Now, don't you feel the same? Who's coming to teach me? I know everything. But subhanAllah, 10 years ago until now, how much you have learned. That's how it is. We think we know everything, but we don't. Actually, what we don't know is much more than what we know. وَمَا أُوتِيتُم مِّنَ الْعِلْمِ إِلَّا قَلِيلًا. What we know is much less than what we don't know. So always be open. And this is what I respect about the kuffar. I have to respect that, because for them, they don't have something called impossible. They want to reach Mars. For us, that's crazy. Why Allah Azza wa Jal told us in the Quran, in Surah An-Naml, Surah 27, the story of Balqis with Sulaiman alayhi salam. قَالَ أَيُّكُمْ يَأْتِينِي بِعَرْشِهَا. Who would bring me her throne? قَبْلَ أَن يَأْتُونِي مُسْلِمِينَ. Where did they come from? They came from Yemen. Where? To Jerusalem. So by the way, they are already on the way. He wanted someone to bring her throne from Yemen to Palestine while they were already on the way. Now, throne, we're talking about throne. We're not talking about something. We're not talking about technology or information. We're talking about physical thing. What's the fastest delivery service in our time? Now, Amazon in the States, they give same day delivery for major cities. They have same day delivery. But in most places, it's overnight or at least few hours. But it happened instantly. Again, what did Allah say about her throne? وَلَهَا عَرْشٌ عَظِيمٌ. She had great throne. She was queen. Imagine just the makeup. How much would take that from her throne? So, what happened? قَالَ أَنَا آتِيكَ بِهِ قَبْلَ أَن يَرْتَدَّ إِلَيْكَ طَرْفُكَ. Before your eye blinks, before blink of an eye, did that happen or no? So when we read that, what's the purpose? Just to enjoy the story between Sulaiman alayhi salam and Balqis. It is to remind us that what we don't know is much more than what we know. 200 years ago, people imagined, but now they are living what they imagined. That they are going to be flying. There is internet, video, audio. I remember when first audio was installed. Good job, mashallah. Yalla Baba, Zain. When the telephone, some people said there are jinn. How could you hear someone on the other side of the world? When the TV, they started to see what's inside the box when they were before they are flat screens. That's how it is, but now no one talks about that. So where will we reach? وَمَا أُوتِيتُم مِّنَ الْعِلْمِ إِلَّا قَلِيلًا. There is always room. When you are having this mentality and this attitude, you will benefit. You will always be receptive for more. But when you say, I know everything, you close the door. And we say in Arabic, we have a saying, Al-insan aduwwu ma yajhal. A man is enemy of what he doesn't know. Something you don't know, you don't like it. That's why commercials, the purpose of commercials is to make you accustomed, to normalize the thing, so you would be open to take it. In knowledge, you shouldn't need that. You are always open for something new, something useful. So, it's almost 7. And this is it for this session. How much time for Maghrib prayer? 15, 20 minutes? Half an hour. So, Q&A. Some Q&A. If you have. If you don't have, then we can move to the next topic. Yeah. You want to share your questions so they can hear it?
Six.
I said 5, right? Yeah. The 6th one is homework. طول زمان. طول زمان. The last one is long time. I said that earlier in the comments, but I didn't specifically mention it. long time. Don't take shortcuts. Nowadays, 4 years, 2 years, 1 year. Imagine, this is the thing. This is the example I give always. You're flying over a city. If you are flying, what do you see from the city? What can you remember? Because you flew over it. So that means it's like just a few seconds. But if you are driving, will you see more or no? What if you are walking? Scholars, when they wrote books, every book at the beginning or the end, what do you have? When you're looking for something, what do you have to help you looking? Table of contents, right? To make things easy. Imam ibn Hibban, rahimahullah, his sahih, he didn't write it according to any order. Deliberately. So you would spend more time, so you would benefit more. So you need a long time. Nowadays, everything shortcut, shortcut? No. That's why people who are experts, people who can do the troubleshooting, they are the ones who spent more time. So you cannot just become a scholar like that. It takes time. So this is the sixth one. Jazakallah khair for the question. Any other questions?
So I know you studying for a book with the chef from YouTube, but still I couldn't come here.
So the question is about if you have a book or YouTube or a sheikh.
Recorded video.
Now, there is no contradiction. It's not this or that. It could be all. But I ask you this. Now, you are a student here, right? On site or online? Why? Isn't there online studies? Maybe not here in this university, or maybe, I'm not sure. But other universities, do they have online or no? Which one is better and why? You know the answer. So always when you have access to direct interaction, it's better. But that doesn't, because sometimes you don't have this option. Sometimes. So if that's the case, then you deal with what you have. I hope this answers the question. MashaAllah, you don't have your own papers. Ladies, please, try to write with larger letters, okay? Don't just assume that I can read everything, so. I'll try, okay, this one is clear. How do we ensure that we stay sincere while volunteering for the sake of Allah? To have ikhlas. Are there any specific du'as? Yes. And this is really important. Because it's not the bidayat, it's not the beginnings that really matters. What matters, the end. People, they're not given awards how they started the work. But you get the salary at the end of the month for doing a good job. Same thing in Ramadan. After we finish Ramadan, the day of Eid comes, not before Ramadan. So the same thing. So you need to think of the continuation. And it is a challenge. At the beginning, you had good intention, but then the shaitan came, people started recognizing your work, and now you are looking for their recognition, not for the sake of Allah. What do you do? Always check on your intention. How could you tell? If you can tell that if people are not seeing you, you put this scenario always. Now people know about my work, but if they don't know, will I still be doing what I'm doing? If yes, then that means you are sincere. You still do it. And that's what the scholars used to do. They would watch. Anyone is watching. When no one is watching, that's when they do it. That's why later on they would know that this person, that's what he did. They didn't know because he didn't say. So it is a challenge. It's not easy, by the way. Some pious predecessors, they said, Jahadtu. I was in struggle with my niyyah for 20 years. But then I enjoyed the ibadah beyond description. In a way that I cannot describe. So it is a struggle. Yes. Is there a dua? Of course. Always ask Allah. Whatever you want. You want sincerity, ask Allah. Ask Allah to help you. That's the best dua. Ask Allah to keep you sincere. But when you ask Allah Azza wa Jal, try to translate that in actions. Don't ask Allah to be sincere and then go ahead and publish what you did on Facebook, on social media. Translate your dua, your words in actions. That could help. Okay, here we have two questions. Does a student of knowledge start studying fiqh first or hadith? It is about priorities. Is it fiqh or hadith? It doesn't matter. Here is something I didn't really talk about in details, about seeking knowledge. All scholars, they had methodology. Unlike now, when you want to take everything at once. One day, what is this? Sahih al-Bukhari. MashaAllah, of course, Sahih al-Bukhari. It's the best book after the Book of Allah. Good. Next day, what is this? This is Tafsir al-Tabari. Tafsir of the Book of Allah. Yes, MashaAllah. Next day, what is this? This is the Book of Fiqh. Al-Majmu' Imam al-Nawawi, Fiqh of Imam al-Shafi'i. So every day you are jumping from one knowledge to another. Eventually, what happens? You didn't acquire anything. When you start something, this applies to books, this applies to knowledge. When was the last time you bought a book? You bought a book. Last book fair, you liked the title, but that was the last of it. Maybe you opened the first few pages and that's it. No. The sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ always, you start something, you finish it. Don't stop midway. So, it's not whether hadith or fiqh. Either one, it's about your priorities. But when you start, finish. Some scholars, they started with fiqh. Some scholars started with hadith. There is no contradiction. As long as you finish. Actually, before both of them, there is the Quran. Scholars used to start with the Quran. After the Quran, Arabic language. Arabic language, yes. They are Arab speakers. Yes, it doesn't matter. To understand the language of the Quran, the language of the religion. Imam al-Bukhari, he's from where? From Bukhara. Where is Bukhara? Uzbekistan. Near Samarkand. Uzbekistan. So was he Arab? Imam Muslim from where? Imam Muslim and Naysaburi from Naysabur. Where is Naysabur? In Afghanistan, in our time. Imam Abu Dawood, Imam al-Tirmidhi, all of them, they're not Arab. But guess what? They all spoke Arabic. Why? Because it is the language of the Quran. So they start with Quran, Arabic language, then the other sciences, whether hadith or fiqh. These are the priorities. Could you give some tips for us as volunteers of student societies to do our work efficiently and with ihsan? Yes, jazakallah khaira. This is a good question. I haven't talked about that. Many times, the notion that we are volunteering, we can do anything. No. Just because you are volunteering, you are not paid, it doesn't mean you can do anything. To guarantee good results, there has to be accountability, expectations. And just because you're not paid, doesn't mean you do anything. So, whenever you are undertaking a job, you are commissioned to do something, always ask, what is the target? Or what is the expectation? And always try to exceed that. Unfortunately, and this is something true, in many organizations, because we are doing voluntary work, I don't care whenever I come or whenever I leave. No. Efficiency is required. Now, even in paid companies, and that's what I started with my staff, actually. I told them, I don't care when you come or when you leave. Because what do I care if you come early and you leave late, but you didn't do the job? I want you to do the job. As long as you do the tasks for today, you can leave anytime. That will raise the efficiency level. Nowadays, I mean, people care more about procedures than achievement. I'm not like that. Now, people are different. It depends. But for me, I always look at the end result. So, I expect something. Give me that. How you did it, I don't care. Well, I care as long as it is Islamic within the rules of Islam. That's it. You did it at home, you did it at the park, at the resort, wherever you are, it doesn't matter. But then I noticed I gave them too much leeway, too much flexibility, and that made the work efficiency lower. So I told them, no, you have to come. Not because I care about coming, but at least I guarantee that since you are there, I guarantee that you have nothing to do but the job. It was unfortunate, but that's what I had to do. So it depends. But always there has to be expectations, accountability. The companions of the Prophet ﷺ, whenever the Prophet ﷺ commissioned someone of them to do something, they knew exactly what's expected. And even the Prophet ﷺ reviews that with them. Mu'adh radiallahu anhu, when he was sent to Yemen, the Prophet ﷺ asked him, "Oh Mu'adh, how do you judge? Oh, I'm going as a da'i, I'm going as a leader, so I can do whatever I want." No. There are expectations, there are things that you are expected to do. Actually, because you're doing this for the sake of Allah, it should be better than doing it for dunya. Because for dunya, you got paid. This is for the sake of Allah. You want the payment to be from Allah, which is the best reward you could get. So you should do the best work. So yes, we need always to have a minimum level. Subhanallah, when people are sincere, you always see them exceeding and excelling. One example, one of the shuyukh, Abdurrahman al-Sumait, rahimahullah. He was a medical doctor from Kuwait. And he established charitable organization, the Committee of Muslims of Africa. His work was based in Africa. He was a medical doctor and he was making enough and good living in Kuwait. Kuwait is a very rich country. The most expensive currency in the world. One Kuwaiti dinar, 3 plus US dollars. It's more than 10 ringgit, one Kuwaiti dinar. So, he left all of that and he went to Africa. Now, why he did that? For the sake of Allah. How many people accepted Islam? Again, you could do a lot of work and people don't accept Islam. You're not asked for that. But definitely, if you're doing a good job, you will see a good result. More than 2 million people accepted Islam because of him. More than 2 million people in Africa. So he used what he had for the sake of Allah. Now, the UN, their standard charitable organizations' expenses for administrative work is 18%. From the charity that they give, let's say they got 100,000. How much should we spend on salaries, on expenses for the employees? The standard for the United Nations, 18%. That's for charitable organizations, that's worldwide. His standard was what? 4% only. 4%. Unlike some people, they take 100,000 and they take 50. And only the 50 they spend it. So when you are sincere, you will excel. You will do more and better. You will not settle for even the world standards. You will always have better standards. You were able to read it?
Everyone talks.
So you know now the struggle that I have been having.
Everyone talks about.
Everyone talks about intelligence and how we can achieve it. But sometimes, despite hard work and pure intentions, a person might not achieve their goals. What advice would you give such a person, Sheikh? For example, memorizing the Quran.
Okay. Now, if you do your best and still you don't get the result, one of two things. Maybe you didn't do your best, but you don't know it. That's number one, and it has a solution. Or maybe you did your best indeed, but still it's not working, which means even your best is not enough. That means this is not for you. It's not for you. You don't have to memorize the Quran to enter Jannah. I told you, Khalid radiallahu anhu did not. Maybe. But the question is, in the first part, did you really do your best? That's the question. Because many times, there is an error, and I will be talking about that in the last section, about self-development, planning. I don't doubt every single one of you wants to memorize the Quran, yes or no? We all have this intention. Then why didn't we achieve it? Where is the error? It is in the process. Maybe you started too much or too little, or you didn't commit. One day you memorized, another day you memorized, and then what happened? You stopped. That's why, what was the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? كان عمله ديما, continuation. You gave that time for the Quran, never ever leave it. Because the shaitan will come next day telling you, oh, you have to do this. Once you submit, that's it. The shaitan defeated you. Once you ignore the shaitan temptations and you stick to your schedule, it is a struggle. Again, it takes time. So, many times people think they did their best, but they didn't. And doing your best doesn't mean doing more. Actually, sometimes it is by doing less. There is a book, beautiful book, you should read it, called The Power of Less. It's a small book. It's matching the title. How you achieve more by doing less. Sometimes you want to do here, you want to do there. It's about achievement. So, maybe there was error in planning, choosing the time of memorizing the Quran. Maybe the reviewing. Maybe the commitment, you were not committed every single day. One simple way, people say, how can I remember what I memorized? I did memorize, but I forgot. Try to always review the Quran in your prayer. Aren't you tired of repeating the same ayat always? Make it a point every single day that you don't repeat the ayah twice until next year. Every single day in the 5 daily prayers, you read different ayat. Oh, at the beginning it will be difficult, challenging, yes. And you will make errors, mistakes, yes. But eventually what will happen? You will guarantee that you will go through the entire Quran. So you will memorize the Quran. So do not repeat the same ayat twice. That's one way. And there are many other ways. So is it really you did your best, or you thought you did your best but you didn't? Or you did indeed do your best, and that means this is not for you. You are in the wrong field. You should choose something else. And alhamdulillah, Allah Azza wa Jalla is merciful that we don't have to please Him in one way only. There are people good in memorizing the Quran. There are people good in speaking, giving da'wah. There are people good in handy work, efficient in their work. There are people good in their intelligence, in their skills, in mathematics, in what? So we are different. And there are people good in cooking. Yeah, cooking. One of the women at the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself said, this is a woman that my companions visit. Imagine, she was so good that the companions would wait for Friday. Friday, yes, we have the khutbah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but what comes next? After the khutbah, they go and eat at her house. She was good at that. So what are you good at? If all fails, you could go fishing or golfing maybe. Any other?
What if giving advice to someone leads to conflict and ends the friendship? How do we approach people with advice in a way that wouldn't offend them?
Imam al-Shafi'i rahimahullah says, the question is about how giving advice without offending them. Now, here is the thing. Sometimes it's from the shaitan. The shaitan is giving us bad assumptions. Oh, if I gave advice, he will be offended. What if you're the one who is receiving advice? Would you be offended? No, of course not. Then why you assume that of people? Why only people, when they want to give them advice, they will be offended? Will you be offended if you were given the advice? That's number one. Number two, yes, there is a right way. Avoid direct commands, because commands are different. As I said, no one likes to be told to do or not to do. You should, you shouldn't, no. Imam Shafi'i rahimahullah says, تَعَمَّدَنِ النَّصِيحَةَ بِنْفِرَادٍ. When you want to give me advice, make it one-to-one, in seclusion. وَجَنِّبْنِ النَّصِيحَةَ فِي الْجَمَاعَةِ. Do not advise me in front of people. You're not good. How would she feel if I told that in front of everyone? That's why the Prophet ﷺ did not tell you, stand up. You know what he did? No. What did the Prophet ﷺ do? مَا بَالُ أَقْوَامٍ. What's the matter with people? generalize. Always address the issue, not the person. I don't have any issue with you. I love you. This actually breaks the ice. This helps a lot. But what you did was wrong. Again, not you, what you did. Especially with children. Many times parents give the wrong advice. It's not about my son, my daughter, I love you. But what you did, the same thing. I believe if you follow these steps, there is no reason for people to be offended. I love you, I have no issue with you, but I have an issue with what you did. Keep it open. If all that fails, try to mention that in front of someone. Maybe this person doesn't listen to me. I'm younger than him. How could I give advice to my uncle? Well, your uncle is the oldest in the family. No, my grandfather is still alive. Maybe if you mention that indirectly in front of your grandfather, maybe he would say something. Sometimes, praising the person, sometimes that helps. Come on, I didn't expect that from you. You are better than that. I know we all make mistakes, but not you. I think better of you than that. This also sometimes helps. These are few tips. Again, you're not responsible for the result. You did your part, leave the rest to Allah Azza wa Jalla. Sometimes waiting for people, that backfires actually. What are you doing? I'm waiting. Waiting for what? To do what I asked you to do. Because you are waiting, I'm not going to do it. You advised, wait. Just leave it. They did it, alhamdulillah. They didn't do it, alhamdulillah. You did what you're supposed to do. That's the essence of advice. You're not commanding. Okay, we will have a break for the prayer. Jazakumullah khairah. We'll see you inshallah after the prayer. Assalamu alaikum.